Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, February 6th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 27th of Shvat, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. We begin today's broadcast with heavy news coming from a New York Times report. One day short of exactly 4 months of war between Israel and Hamas, and the New York Times reports that 32 of the hostages held by Hamas in Gaza are confirmed dead, with an additional 20 feared to be dead. The New York Times attributes their information from Israeli intelligence. The IDF is actively working to return the remaining hostages and has informed the families of the deceased. There are reportedly 136 hostages in Hamas captivity in Gaza. Efforts are ongoing to negotiate a truce and secure the release of the remaining captives, with various proposals being discussed by negotiating parties. A major sticking point in negotiations is Hamas's demand for a permanent ceasefire and the release of an exorbitant number of Palestinian prisoners, which Israel has been hesitant to agree to. Another report by The Guardian says 31 of the families of hostages in Israel have already been told that their loved ones passed away in captivity. 121 hostages were released within the first 2 months of war, including dozens in November of 2023. 253 people were taken hostage from Israel into Gaza, including Thai nationals, Americans, French, and individuals from other nationalities as well. That all took place on October 7th in sovereign Israeli territory. We here at the Israel Daily News Podcast send our heartfelt condolences to the families that are dealing with this terrible news. If they had been holding out hope, I'm sure that this hurt really badly. Hamas is resurfacing in Gaza City, where Israeli troops withdrew forces just a month ago. The terrorist group has been deploying police officers and making partial salary payments to its civil servants in the area. In response, Israeli forces are striking western and northwestern parts of Gaza City. An anonymous Hamas official spoke to the Associated Press news agency on this matter, saying Hamas leaders were given instructions to re-establish order in northern parts of the city where Israeli troops had pulled out. This includes preventing the looting of evacuated shops and homes. Some officials are receiving up to $200 in partial salary payments, which indicates that Israel has not entirely crushed Hamas. Thursday, the chief of the IDF Southern Command stated the army would continue fighting in Gaza City, along with other recently targeted areas as well. Renewed IDF operations in the north will complicate the process of evacuated Gazans returning to their homes. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has arrived in Egypt for talks, which many hope would bring about a ceasefire. Blinken was previously in Saudi Arabia before he landed in Egypt. The Israeli army is set to move into Gaza's southern parts, where there are currently more than a million Gazans taking shelter. Blinken has made 5 trips to the region since Hamas terrorists blew over Israel's border, massacring, murdering, and raping and mutilating 1,200 people and taking 253 hostage on October 7th. Israel's army lost another officer, which the military announced on Tuesday. That's today. It brings the ground offensive response to a casualty number of 226. The United States is looking for new agencies to send its humanitarian funding for Gaza. After allegations of 12 United Nations Relief and Works Agency members, that's UNRWA, being involved in the October 7th massacre, the U.S. suspended its funding from the organization. The organization's deputy spokesman says the U.S. is looking to partner with the World Food Program, or UNICEF, which is the UN agency that brings humanitarian aid to children all over the globe, or organizations like those. The spokesman clarifies that humanitarian aid for Palestinians is still critical, but it can be achieved by other non-governmental organizations. He also says that the U.S. will have conversations with other countries still supporting UNRWA. The U.S. was UNRWA's largest donor, providing UNRWA between $300 to $400 million annually. UNRWA warns it might have to shut down by the end of February if funding suspensions are not revoked. Whether or not UNRWA should continue operating in Gaza after the war is over is a current debate between the United States and Israel. Bank Leumi is also giving UNRWA a hard time. The Israeli bank, which UNRWA uses for its accounting, blocked the organization's access. After allegations against UNRWA came out, Bank Leumi raised concerns about unusual financial activities in the account, suspecting that the funds might be reaching terrorist groups in the Gaza Strip. They demanded explanations from UNRWA representatives about unusual activity and asked for answers about where the money was going. The Israel Daily News podcast released a very serious episode last week about UNRWA, the allegations against those 12 employees, a breakdown about how the organization got started, and a lot of explanations about the birth of the State of Israel, which led to the creation of UNRWA. And the highlight of that episode is the interview at the second half of that episode with Executive Director of UN Watch, Hillel Neuer, who is an expert on this matter. Member of Knesset Yair Lapid, opposition leader, former prime minister himself, and Yesh Atid chairman, has offered to join the current Israeli government solely to free the remaining Israeli hostages in Hamas captivity. Let's explain. This is all based on the assumption that far-right ministers like National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich may leave the government if the upcoming hostage deal results in a significant ceasefire and the release of many Palestinian prisoners. Their absence would leave the governing coalition without a majority in the Knesset. In an interview with Khan News, Lapid said, quote, "I told the prime minister, I don't care about ministries. I served as foreign minister. I served as finance minister. I served as prime minister. I care about one thing only, returning the hostages, and if he needs a security net of any kind, that we enter the government from outside the government in any way, he should just say so," end quote. Essentially saying that if the prime minister needs help to maintain his governing body, that he would be happy to do so. Sunday, Security Minister Ben-Gvir interviewed with the Wall Street Journal, where he criticized President Biden, U.S. President Biden, for focusing on sending humanitarian aid to Gaza rather than backing Israel. He claimed that if Trump were president, U.S. conduct would be completely different. In a speech later that evening, Lapid said he worries that Ben-Gvir's outrageous right-wing views are taken seriously by the global community due to his political magnitude on the government, though he is not a member of the war cabinet and does not have much contact with U.S. officials to begin with. Lapid claims that Ben-Gvir is only creating tension, while Israel's focus should really be on finishing the war, preparing for future conflict, and preventing the next disaster. Argentinian President Javier Milei arrived in Israel, announcing plans to relocate Argentina's embassy to Jerusalem, fulfilling a campaign promise. While there have been no practical steps taken yet, an Israeli diplomat welcomed the statement, emphasizing its significance. Hamas criticized the move, viewing it as a violation of international law. Milei met with Israeli officials, expressed support for Israel's efforts to secure the release of hostages held by Hamas, and is discussing bilateral cooperation on the matter. France is demanding proof from Hamas that medication sent to Israeli hostages actually reached them. It's been weeks since the medicine arrived in the Gaza Strip, but it has not been confirmed that the hostages received it. The medicine was procured by France and then sent to the hostages in a deal. France's foreign minister said, quote, "The responsibility lies on Hamas and is a matter of regular exchanges with Qatari authorities, and that there would be, quote, serious consequences if the medicine has not reached the captives." On January 16th, France made a deal with Qatar that a three-month supply of medication for 45 hostages with chronic illnesses would be delivered to them, as well as other vitamins and medicines for those injured during their capture. This is in exchange for large amounts of humanitarian aid for the people in Gaza. The International Committee of the Red Cross has no involvement in this deal, nor has checked the medical conditions of any of the hostages or even paid a visit to them, which is supposed to be standard. While France fully supports Israel's need to defend itself after the October 7th massacre, it calls for a ceasefire and for tragedy to end in Gaza. The foreign minister believes a two-state solution must be established for peace in the Middle East. France will also be donating 200,000 euros to the Association of Rape Crisis Centers in Israel to aid Hamas victims in dealing with sexual violence they endured. France condemns Hamas for its use of rape and sexual violence and considers it a war crime. The U.S. Senate has unveiled a $118 billion package that includes aid for Israel, Ukraine, and other U.S. allies, aiming to push the bill through despite skepticism from Republicans. The bill includes $14 billion in military aid to Israel, humanitarian assistance to Gaza, and $60 billion in aid to Ukraine. It also incorporates changes to border policy, aiming for faster and tougher enforcement measures while offering resources for immigration enforcement and processing asylum claims. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good to you. To make a one-time contribution to our special wartime coverage, which we take very seriously, you can just type in my name, Shanna Fold, and GoFundMe into Google. That'll come up right up at the top. Independent journalist covering Israel's war. You'll see that. I want to give a thank you to our contributors, our donors, our encouragers, all the people that are doing amazing, amazing outreach to try to keep the spirits of the Israel Daily News Podcast team up and running and to make sure that our lights are up and running as well. Thank you for that. If you've heard your name or you've donated, send me an email with your mailing address at shannafold@gmail.com and I'll respond with a handwritten note to show my appreciation. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. Israeli fencer Yuval Freilich won the gold medal at the 2024 Qatar Grand Prix. Qatar, despite working on negotiations with the U.S. and Israel, has no diplomatic ties with Israel and houses Hamas leadership on their soil, including right now. 29-year-old Freilich wore a uniform with an Israeli flag on it, along with the message, Am Yisrael Chai, or the people of Israel live, and that was written on his shoulder. It was an unusual and touching experience when Hatikva, Israel's national anthem, played out in Qatar, as is custom to play the anthem of any winner of a sports match. That may be the only time Hatikva was played on a stage in Qatar. Israeli windsurfer Sharon Kanter came in as number 1, taking the gold at the IQ Foil World Championships. The competition was held off the coast of Africa in Spain's Canary Islands. This one's called Lanzarote Island. Kanter is set to represent Israel at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games this summer. The bronze medal went to an Israeli 23-year-old named Katie Spichikov. And finally, Israel's under-20 men's national ice hockey team scored a gold medal at the World Championship tournament in Bulgaria. The story is significant because initially, the International Ice Hockey Federation banned Israel's participation. Do you remember that? We reported that just over a week ago. They said they had to keep Israel out of the games due to security concerns. Well, the Federation later reversed its decision after getting hit with widespread criticism for trying to keep Israel out of the competition. The award ceremony took place on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was on January 27th. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Tuesday, February 6th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 12 degrees Celsius and a high of 19 degrees. That's 54 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 67 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'm going to send you off now with a song called Makom Prati by Idan Tamler, a talented musician, singer, and cantor. That song translates to private space in English. Have a great and productive day. דרך השן המכוניות ובין צפיפות הבניינים עד קרן שמש שתגן על התמימות ששם בפנים הזיקוקים של הילדות הפכו לזיכרון ישן אורות גדולים שנשרפו ומה נשאר לנו עכשיו תגידי האם עדיין יש לאן לרוץ רוצה למצוא מקום פרטי שיהיה רק לך בלי ולא יגיעו לחפש אותנו לכבות את העולם ואין חולות לרדם מתי לקחו לי את הים כבר לא נושם אוויר הרים רק מזוהר רק רעש שחוסם שתיקות מרגיש כמו זר אצלי בתוך הזיכרונות ואת אומרת אם תסתכל מספיק בסוף תדע לראות רוצה למצוא מקום פרטי שיהיה רק לך ולי ולא יגיעו לחפש אותם לכבות את העולם לכבות את העולם לכבות את העולם רוצה למצוא מקום